Now that the fun and games from the gun control Occupy the House are consigned to history, Congress still has real issues to deal with, like Brexit or the federal budget. So House members do the logical thing, leaving D.C. to the Senate for the week on recess. Joining me with the Summer Outlook, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. So the Senate is in session this week, and then they're gone next week. So it's kind of one of those periods again, isn't it?
It is one of those periods. The Senate has a relatively, they have two important things that they are hoping to do, only one of which they're probably going to do. On Tuesday, they are voting on an agreement to fund the research and combating the Zika virus, an agreement that was reached almost entirely by the Republicans. The Democrats feel dealt out of this, and so they are probably going to vote against it in the Senate, which would prevent it from becoming law before the 4th of July. And then by the end of the week, Congress is supposed to have finished a legislation for coming up with a plan to bail out Puerto Rico before a July 1st deadline that's important in Puerto Rico's finances. It's up in the air whether that's going to get done. But yes, the House is out, and then starting on Friday, both the House and the Senate are out through the holiday weekend and into early next week.
The big issue last week was the gun control. I don't know whether you'd call it a debate or a sit-in or, you know, a California-style 1968 campus protest or whatever, but it seems like maybe new ground has been broken in the comportment category, and I wonder what agencies must be thinking, looking at how their counterparts and the elected counterparts in that branch of government are behaving. And you've got a column on that.
I do. Yes, this was a somewhat new, but not entirely new way of protesting in the House, which is to say that it is always the case that when if a protest gets really big and loud. It's not always the case. This doesn't happen, but about once every decade. But about a decade ago, when the shoe was on the other foot and Nancy Pelosi was the speaker, and it was the Republicans who were furious that they weren't going to get a vote on something they thought was important right before a recess, they essentially occupied the floor after Nancy Pelosi gaveled the House closed for the summer recess. Now, the issue was a less sort of impassioned one. It was about offshore oil drilling, which the Republicans thought was really important at the time because it was a time of surging gas prices. But they did something similar. We just didn't see it because this was really before the new era of social media had taken over. And so when the House lights were turned off and the cameras were turned off, nobody could see this protest. So it didn't get nearly as much attention as what happened last week.
So if a protest occurs on the House floor in the dark with no cameras, does it really happen?
That's kind of exactly the sort of metaphysical question that we're all asking ourselves. This time you couldn't avoid seeing it. I think when Paul Ryan decided to recess the House, he probably assumed that would obscure the size and intensity of the protest, because when the House is formally out of session, there are no cameras. That's not new policy. That's the way it always is. The cameras belong to the Speaker, and the Speaker always turns the cameras on only when the House is formally in session, and then they get turned off again. But I'm not sure that he knew that about Facebook Live and Periscope. And the other thing, the important thing that he did do, Paul Ryan, and now I think he may be thinking about whether he's living to regret it, is to allow those social media filmings of the protest to happen. Because technically, it is against the rules to use a camera of any kind on the House floor, whether you're a tourist, a staff member, or a member of Congress yourself. You're not supposed to have cameras on the floor.
Yeah, so that gets to my original question is, you know, what kind of signal do you think this sends to the rest of government where, you know, rules, traditions, mainly rules and process, are held in pretty high esteem and something people try to adhere to?
Right. So I think
That's a
rhetorical question, I know, and I don't know enough about the personalities of every agency, but I'm guessing that if you're a civil servant or even a political appointee at an agency, you are probably looking with somewhat of a raised eyebrow, even if you're a Democratic political appointee, and thinking, you know, these politicians get leeway that we never get.
We're speaking with David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call. And Brexit, the British vote of last week, everyone seems to be thinking it has some effect on everything, but nobody can quite point to what the actual effect is. Any legislative activity related to that might be coming up that you have seen yet?
I haven't seen it yet. I would say that if there is legislative activity, it would be what we call, those of us who cover Congress, it'll be messaging bills. In other words, bills that aren't really designed to become law, but are designed to send a message. And the message that some Republicans, I think, want to send is, we hear you, angry, nationalistic, economically dislocated voters. We know that the same kind of voter who created this huge upset vote in Britain exists probably at a larger number than we anticipated before this election. We know that even if we don't really support Donald Trump as the nominee, that we know that he has tapped into a vein of the electorate that we probably undervalued. And so if we Republicans may want to at least send some legislative signals that we're hearing these people.
But no policy change or nothing that they would instruct the administration to do as a result of all this.
I can't see that happening. For one thing, I think whatever the Republicans would want to instruct the administration to do, the administration probably wouldn't. I think, you know, we are rapidly approaching the true end of new policy getting made between now and the election.
I mean, right.
The results of the election, you know, we know that Congress is coming back for a lame duck session no matter what. And obviously, who wins the three big elections, the presidency, the House, and the Senate, will absolutely inform a lame duck session that could be a nothing burger or it could be incredibly busy.
So the next big date then would be the 11th, when both houses return for whatever they're going to do this summer.
Actually, both houses are back on the 7th of July, coming out back in the middle of next week. Actually, the House is coming back the day after the 4th of July. The Senate will join them on the 7th. So it is, for the Senate, an unusually short 4th of July recess. The House taking a full week, Senate just taking an extra long weekend.
What's first on the dockets when they do get back?
That's a great question, which I wish I knew the answer to. I think there will be some effort probably to find an appropriations bill or two that may still become ripe for the passage. But other than that, there is not much else for them to do.
Because there is differences between the House and Senate on the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Bill, the one that they're always proud of getting done for 50 years. But the White House has threatened to veto both versions. So even if they reconcile, on two negatives, they're going to end up, it's not like multiplying, they still end up with a negative.
That's right. I think John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, has talked about conceding that it may be wildly optimistic to think that those negotiations could be done before Congress breaks again, which is at the end of the second week in July. They're really not only back for a couple of weeks because then the conventions start, and then they're gone for 7 weeks. McCain and Mac Thornberry, the chairman of the House committee, have set a very ambitious timetable, which they concede is ambitious, to get the NDAA negotiated before then. I think much more likely it will be probably in the lame duck session. I mean, when we say the bill has gotten done more than 50 years in a row, that is true. But sometimes it has been the very, very last thing that Congress does before going home for Christmas. And there are enough disagreements both between the two bills and between Congress and the administration that one might have to wait to the lame duck and even to the end of the lame duck.
And so the 4th of July itself, then, is the only foreseeable day in which, for at least a few hours under the fireworks, we will be one nation indivisible.
That's right. You won't be, if it's divisible, you won't be able to see it under the glare of the fireworks.
All right. David Hawkings is senior editor at Roll Call. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Read his column and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.